Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. Today we're talking about banks. All of us have to deal with banks, right? Banks have become the common, normal storehouse of everyone's funds, and yet a lot of banks today have changed their practices over the last number of years, and they feel more like used car dealerships than they do places that actually respect your money and the fact that they get to take your money and hold it for you. Right? It's almost they act like it's an expectation that of course they get to. And so we see just really intense sales practices from banks. We also see fees on top of fees on top of fees from most banks, not all, most. And again, that's not to say that every person working at a bank is doing terrible, bad things. That's not true at all. I have great friends and relationships with people in banks, but there's some really concerning things going on. This has been under my skin lately. So this episode is going to talk about that. And if you hear yourself in this, if you have questions about your situation as you listen, you go, I've experienced that. I don't want to live that way anymore. Please reach out and ask questions. I'd love to engage with you on that because there is a better way to bank. There are great banks out there that are doing innovative, remarkable things that treat you with respect. Don't settle for being treated with disrespect by a bank. If you have questions about your situation, jump on our website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask anything. I get back to everyone who writes in. Again, it's mylifeismore.com. Nerd moment for the day in honor of banks. How many banks failed during the Great Recession, 2008 to 2012? How many banks were closed and couldn't make it financially? This is pretty interesting, I think. 465 banks were closed by the FDIC from 2008 to 2012. Holy cow. So what you saw was all these banks that couldn't make it during the financial crisis, they closed. There was a lot of consolidation to a few really large banks, and that's kind of the world we live in now. So don't settle for being mistreated by a bank. Make sure that they treat you with respect, that you're not charged crazy amounts of fees. I'll let you listen to the episode instead of preaching here, but hope you enjoy the show. I want to move into something that's just been bothering me lately. If you've been listening to the show for a while, sometimes I just get on things that drive me crazy. And because I meet with so many people on a regular basis, I get these trends of things I hear over and over. And I want to bring that to you because I think sometimes we feel alone in things we experience, right? Sometimes we feel like, well, I must be the only one dealing with this when I see these trends over and over again with clients. This is about banks. And I'm amazed by, I did a little study on this for an update that I did recently. Every day on WSB, we do a morning update at about 7:35 in the morning and an afternoon update at about 5:35 in the afternoon. It's a 1 minute, what's going on in the world today? How does it impact your wallet? Update that we do. And by the way, if you don't listen to the radio and you want to get that, jump on my website. You can actually sign up to get that emailed straight to your inbox every day. We're not going to spam you, but it just gives you that 1 minute update every day. Again, it's mylifeismore.com. So in one of the updates recently, I talked about this because I'd had a client come and talk with me and I've seen this same thing over and over. And they said, I'm paying so much in fees. Is this normal? So here's my question to you. What do you pay your bank every year in fees? When I began researching this, it was insane to me. Okay, listen, in 2016, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, the 10 biggest banks in America earned $7.5 billion on overdraft fees. In fact, one of those banks, 11% of their profit that year, 11% was from overdraft fees. I mean, holy cow. Banks start acting like, the only way I can think about it is like this, that they're entitled to your money. Like they're doing you a favor in some way for holding on to it, right? You come and you deposit your funds and maybe you're not a multimillionaire, okay? Maybe you're just a hardworking person who comes and deposits your earnings there and you're treated as if they're entitled to it. Like it's almost an annoyance to them. And that's been my experience and I'm guessing it's been many of your experiences, but the fees are just adding insult to injury. I think I assumed for a while that most of these fees had some legitimate purpose. Like the bank had, and there is some cost to the bank, for instance, with an overdraft. And there's a cost to a bank with an ATM. When you use an ATM, there's some sort of cost, right? There's costs to banks to wire money. I understand there's costs for these things, but the amount that's charged by many banks is just unbelievable. Okay. And for a lot of people, if you added it up over the course of a year, it's amazing what we're paying these people. So let me share the experience of this client, and maybe you can find yourself in this story. A client came into me that raised my attention about this and asked me about a certain kind of fee. He had a business bank account, okay? And so he was a small business owner. He's working his tail off every day. And he said, hey, I have these account analysis fees. I don't even know what this is. Can you help me understand this? So I start looking through his bank statements, and he's been charged hundreds of dollars that year by his bank for something called an account analysis fee, when he has no idea what that is. So we called up the bank together, and they gave him some sort of description. And then they told him, hey, by the way, if you had a different account, you wouldn't be charged as much. Okay, if you just changed your account. And he said, how would I have known that? And they said, oh, it's in your contract. Yeah, that fine print that you got when you signed up, that he doesn't remember anyone ever explaining to him. Okay, I had another client come in, same scenario, another business client, where they said they had these random fees on their account. And I started looking again. It was a significant amount of money in fees. When we called the bank on that, it was, oh, well, you only get a certain amount of transactions with your account. What does that mean? Well, a transaction is anytime you swipe your card, anytime you move money, that's all transactions. You only get a certain amount. And then every time you do a transaction, quote unquote, after that amount, we charge you a fee. And so that's the fee. And in some months he had hundreds of transactions. So even though it was a small fee, it added up. And again, he had no idea. Right. But even if you're not a small business owner, look through your account. How many times were you charged an overdraft fee this year? Okay. How many times were you charged an ATM fee? How much did you pay to send money at different points? For a lot of people, that's hundreds of dollars a year. And this is almost entirely profit to the banks. That doesn't mean there shouldn't be any sort of fee, but it's almost entirely profit to the bank. And by the way, this has not been a particularly auspicious few years for the big banks, right? Particularly Wells Fargo. We've seen scandal after scandal from Wells Fargo where people were treated as if they had no value, right? Millions of accounts opened in people's names that were fraudulent, lying about different charges on the accounts, et cetera, et cetera. And we talked about that on this show a number of times. So you would think in the midst of all that, the banks would go, you know what? What can we do to make people feel valued as if we want their business? And they would bring some of these charges under control, and they would do better explaining the charges to people like you and me so we'd understand it. But that's not what's happening. All right. So then the question becomes, well, what do we do about that? And I think the shocking thing to me is that so many people have this issue, right? So many people I meet with, if they were honest and they looked through their accounts, they pay so much money and they don't get great customer service, et cetera, et cetera. So why do we stay with them? And I think the answer is because we assume, well, two things. One, we assume that's all there is. I talked with one client of mine, the client that had been charged these account analysis fees. And I said, well, maybe you should consider switching banks. And he said, they're all the same, right? Why is it any different? At least I already have my stuff here. The work it would take is an absolute annoyance to switch banks. So why would I? Because they're all the same. And that reason flows into the second thing, which is the other thing he mentioned, which is it's just a lot of work to move. And so because we assume most banks are the same, and because it's a lot of work to move, we just go, well, it is what it is. We'll just deal with it. But that's terrible. Friends, we should never, this is your hard-earned money. Who else would you let come in and just take from you all these dollars for no apparent reason and gouge you? Very few people, right? But we just assume that's normal with the banks. And so what can you do instead? Well, let me just give you two options. And again, I'm not sponsoring these people. They don't pay me or anything. I just, in my research on this, there's two different banks that really stood out to me. And there's more like that out there, but examples of banks that treat people differently. Okay, hey, if you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money. We're talking about banks because I'm a little bit fed up with the way, two things. One, the fees that were charged by banks is just price gouging. It's just unbelievable. And two, the way that people that I work with are treated, the clients I have are treated by their banks as if, you know, it is what it is. They can't do anything about it. Customer service is kind of a thing of the past. And that doesn't apply to everyone. Obviously, I've got friends that work at banks that do amazing work. But I see this over and over. So is there another alternative? And I would say yes. And it does take a little bit of work, but you'd be amazed how much some of these alternatives, these other banks that are doing different kind of work here, will how far they'll go to helping you with this. Okay, so one alternative is go to an online bank. Ally Bank is a great example of this. Again, I don't have any relationship with Ally Bank, but I'm really impressed with how they do business. They don't have brick and mortar locations, and they've used that cost savings to slash fees dramatically. For instance, you don't get charged any ATM fees. I know people don't even use cash anymore, but if you happen to use cash and you go to an ATM, you're not going to have any fees, and they reimburse you fees from other people. Okay, so no fees there. Also, listen to this. This is what I have sat with clients before who've been overdrafted multiple times, and I've seen, and it's been documented that banks, some of the bigger banks have done this before, where literally, let's say somebody has $500 in their account, and they go shopping, and they're spending money, and the very last transaction of the day, they go over on their account. Call it by $5, right? They're just off, and they go over on their account. And then we look at their bank statement afterwards, and their transactions have been reordered, where the largest transaction was first, and it cleared first, so that took their account way down. It might have taken their account under, and that means every transaction after that is charged an overdraft fee. So in reality, they went through all day and they had the money, and only one thing at the end of the day took them over the line. But the bank went and literally reordered the transactions so that as many transactions as possible received that fee at $36 a pop. Okay, so now hundreds of dollars in overdraft fees from one transaction that went over. I've seen this happen before. Okay, Ally Bank says, you know what? If you go over on your account, it's $25 per day, not per transaction. Okay, now that, first of all, seems like good business to me. That seems reasonable. If you overdraft on your account, there's a cost to the bank, there's a risk to the bank. It's perfectly allowable that they charge you some sort of fee. But hundreds of dollars in fees, $36 per transaction, is just price gouging, right? So saying $25 per day, whether you overdraft once or you have 10 different things that go over $25 a day, that's just fair. Right? So that endears me to them. Okay, so that's one thing. So the ATM fees, the overdraft fees, and also they have very low account fees. So you're not going to pay, a lot of banks now charge you, any account you have, if you don't maintain some minimum, they charge you fees. So Ally just has really low fees. So I would check them out. Okay, they will go out of their way to help you move their accounts over to them. And some people go, well, that's a pain. They're online. It's a lot of work. I can't go into a branch. I get all that. I'll give you another solution for that in a second. But you'd be surprised. I have friends that are just longtime Ally Bank lovers. How easy they've made this in today's age, where you can use them. Now you basically cut your fees dramatically, and you work with a bank that actually seems to want your business. Isn't that a revelation? Okay. Now, what about a brick and mortar option? Because a lot of us, me included, actually, I don't currently use an online bank primarily because I do like the ability to walk into the bank sometimes. Is there a good brick and mortar option? Well, I think there's a few of them out there, but one that I have some personal relationships where I know some of these folks. I've actually drilled them on that. I've talked with them about this. I did a podcast recently, speaking of our podcast earlier, with a guy named Mike Sims. Mike works with the Vinings Bank in Atlanta. And I just asked him some really pointed questions. You can go listen to the podcast on our website, mylifeismore.com. But he has a background in banking. He was able to speak about how banking has changed over the years and more become more transactional, like a used car dealership. But that's why he's doing what he does now, actually. Okay. But I actually, even when we were off the air just talking, I asked him some really pointed questions about how do you guys operate? Are you actually different? Okay. And at Vinings Bank, same deal. There's no ATM fees. They'll reimburse you for any other ATM fees. Here's one of the neatest things to me. They actually make loan decisions in-house. So if you've been at your bank recently and they've said, oh, you should get a home equity loan, or you should come get your car loan with us, or whatever they're hawking, okay? If you actually were to apply for that loan, it immediately shoots out of that office and goes to some underwriting location that you don't know anybody there, you don't have any relationship. Your story really doesn't matter anymore, right? And that actually matters when you're lending money. Like if you're going to lend, if somebody's going to lend you money, it's not just looking at your FICO score. It's what situation are you actually in? That used to be part of the process. Like, tell us your story. Why do you need this? But that no longer matters most of the time, right? Have you ever felt that way? It's just totally impersonal. I've met people with millions of dollars, literally in their assets, millions of dollars. in assets that have been denied car loans because the grid just didn't work. Well, your income doesn't fit. And they're looking at them going, I make an unbelievable amount of money. Well, we can't give you the car loan because it doesn't fit our grid, because it's not about a story anymore, right? At Vining's Bank, this blew my mind. They actually make all their loan decisions in-house. So if you want a loan, you go talk with them. They actually talk to you. They get your story. And then an actual group of humans at that location, not off in some place in Seattle, talk and make a decision about your loan. It's revolutionary, right? But that exists. And I know it's at more places than just Ally Bank and Vining's Bank, but you have to seek them out. But I'll tell you what Mike told me. He said, look, anybody that's going to move their business here, we will do all the work to move them over. Anybody that's going to move their personal accounts, we'll actually work with them to help them move everything over seamlessly. And so my encouragement to you, the point of this was not, okay, so go work with these people specifically, even though they're great. It's that there are other options out there. And over and over and over again, I meet with people that their experience is just being treated pitifully. I just talked to someone, literally had an email yesterday from a client. I haven't even dealt with it yet. I've just sent them back. We set a time to sit down and talk about it. But they're with one of the big banks, and somebody made a mistake in an online billing. They were supposed to automatically send a payment to their mortgage company. Okay. And I don't even think it was my client, but it could have been. We'll find out, right? But a mistake was made. And so their payment was sent to the mortgage company, but an account number was off. And so the payment was returned. And this happened 2 months in a row. And neither the bank nor the mortgage company was willing to really dig in and see what happened. And so suddenly this client is receiving the collection calls saying, you know, threatening calls, your loan could be suspended, you're in deep trouble. And she has no idea what's going on because it wasn't readily apparent. She knows that the money was sent. It was actually pulled from her account, but it didn't apparently credit correctly to the mortgage company. But nobody at the bank and nobody at the mortgage company, which by the way is another bank, were willing to do a thing about it. It was just on her, and she was getting all these consequences when it had nothing to do with her. And I see this over and over and over again. You have to demand more here. No one else is going to do that for you, right? You have to say, my money, no matter how much that is, whether you make $50,000 or $500,000 a year, that my dollars matter and I'm not going to be abused by a place that I choose to go give my money to, okay? And by the way, if you don't know how to do that or if you're looking for options that fit you, that's one thing we do with our clients, because I do a full financial review with everybody that comes into our office. And part of that is, where are you banking? Where do you have your insurance? Not because I'm going to go sell you a car insurance policy, but because it actually matters where you choose to put your business. And that extends to banks as well. So if you're in a place right now where you go, you know what, I've been with the same bank forever, but they treat me like trash, we have massive fees, I don't really know if it's healthy or not, that's part of our process, is actually talking about that. And if you don't know, if you're in a place where you go, I'm really not sure if we're getting a good deal, if we're being treated fairly, I would love to sit down and talk with you about that. And if you want to meet for any reason, whether it's talking about your bank or just talking about your planning, how interest rates can impact you, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can sign up for a free consultation with me, Chris Burns, and we will dig into your specific situation. But don't be okay taking your money and giving it to a group that doesn't care about you. Let's make sure that you're being taken care of. Again, for that free consultation or to ask any question, go to my website. It's mylifeismore.com.